and intentionally going out of my way to fuck up people's theories. And maybe if there's a couple of big ones, like really popular ones, acknowledge them in the show. Like, oh, Rick, I really thought that you were going to get out of this with, like, a secret extra portal gun because it turned out that you had the technology all along. That would be retarded, Morty. That would be the stupidest thing anyone had ever could conceive in any of the multiverses. Literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Like... Start recording now. That looks like it's recording.
Am I in the blue tooth?
Yes, you're on the blue teeth. Your teeth are blue, sir.
That's weird.
It is. Are you going to be okay there?
Yeah, I'm just checking.
We're recording.
That's fine.
Everybody, hi, everybody. On Sitsock. This is Kyle.
I'm Kyle.
Yes, and that is Kendrick. No.
Oh.
Kyle's on the phone. Kendrick is present. This is due to snow apocalypse, I guess, like 15, as it would be by our reckoning, on account of the fact that half of our
episodes. The Colorado thing where, like, it's like 72 the day before today, and then it's like, you know, 25 below freezing today.
Yeah. How about I give us money?
So, like, Colorado's like, what?
Colorado, it's actually not that cold. It's only 21 degrees above zero Fahrenheit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll go fuck myself. It's still a little freezy, though, right?
Please don't fuck yourself while recording the Sitsock. That would be a little weird.
Well, I could do it, and you'd probably never know.
I mean, you're not wrong. That was a stop sign. We're just going to call that a good...
Did you slide past it?
Yeah, I just rolled through a stop sign. I just sort of slid. It's that one by my house that people slide through anyway when it's not slick. It's a little icy out here, everybody. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Kyle's at home because of the... Yeah, no, the...
record today? Or are you going to die on the road?
I'm good. Once you get out of the neighborhood, it's fine.
Yeah, that's what I heard. All right, that's what it kind of looked like. But we looked at, like, CDOT this morning,
Well, yeah, I just looked at Google Maps and I saw, like, this epicenter of bullshit right around the DTC, and you're like, well, nope.
Yeah, and it was weird, because right above, like, north of, like, 85, or Santa Fe, it was just like, there's nothing in the world to stop me from driving, and I was like, holy shit, this is, like, backwards land.
This really hit south. But anyway, everybody, it's a recording.
FYI, Kendrick and I celebrated our 8 years anniversary of being friends on Facebook the other day.
We did.
And it turns out we don't take pictures and tag each other all that often.
We are not often in the same pictures.
No.
Which is an interesting...
And the ones I remember us being in are like ones that you've probably taken down off Facebook because they involve castles and you with a suit jacket and no shirt.
I have never taken a picture off of Facebook.
Oh, wow. Well, I don't know where that picture went, because it definitely should have. Maybe I didn't get tagged in it, or you didn't tag me, or I didn't tag you.
You are not tagged in it. I am tagged in it.
God damn it, Kendrick. I'm right there behind you, doing that stupid face.
I don't think you're tagged in it. Or maybe Facebook's like, no, we're not showing that one.
That one has caused too many scars for people on the internet.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have a policy that is, if you've actually got a picture of me, and you've managed to take a picture of me, and you put it on Facebook, and you've tagged me, I will not untag myself. The only time I've untagged myself in a couple of those spam pictures where it's not me and they're just trying to tag you and shit.
Okay, yeah.
But I've never untagged an actual picture of myself, and I've never taken one down. That's my rule. If you've managed to take a picture of me, go ahead.
I think that I don't know that I've done the deletion of a picture, but I've definitely deleted threads that I felt were getting stupid.
Yeah.
I frequently often do it with you and your brother.
Yeah, I do not do that. It is against my philosophy.
Good for you. I'm giving you another thumbs up through the phone right now.
Cool.
You're
phone thumbs up.
Thumbs up today.
Phone thumbs up.
I hope your drive isn't filled with app battery.
It usually is, so I don't think this is going to be that different. But, you know. We'll crumble through.
Do you Do you have a highball right now?
I did. I opened it already. I said highball, give us money.
Oh, nice. I thought you said Colorado give us money, and I was like, no, that's we were talking about Colorado.
That's a better choice, actually. Colorado give us money.
I said Colorado give us snow tanks, and I was like, that'd be cool.
That would be even better.
It's like how if you like live in Sweden, they give you like a gun or some shit. Like, if you live in Colorado, they just give you like a snow tank.
I mean, it's yeah, that's 100% accurate.
I mean, I know a lot of things, so
you do, buddy. So. What do we got? What do we got to talk about today?
Dude, I don't know. I was trying to look, and I just really couldn't.
Care?
I didn't find it because I was like looking at work people who are sending me work emails already.
So you're in bed still, aren't you?
I'm what?
You're in bed still, aren't you?
No, I'm on my couch.
Oh, okay.
And I have pants on.
Whoa! The double whammy.
What the fuck? What do you want? I'm getting the list right now.
Okay. I don't know.
There was a really good. So we have Rick and Morty on the list, and I know we may have mentioned it a lot before, but I saw some really good video on the internet the other day where like the Rick and Morty creators had chopped up their own show to Rickroll people.
I saw that. Yes.
And I was like, that's the kind of shit that they've been doing all since season two. Where, like, they just kind of do all this kind of Rick and Morty stuff. So let's just talk about Rick and Morty. All
right. So Rick and Morty is originally based on a very objectionable web show, like web, like video, that was a distasteful and downright unsettling parody of Doc Brown and Marty.
Morty,
who cares?
Marty McFly, yeah.
Yeah, Marty McFly from Back to the Future. McFly. McFly! So, they,
You mean they McFly?
They, and it basically becomes a whole bunch of thinly veiled, pretexts to make the young Marty, who is not in this context actually the grandson of Doc, but to just give him a blowjob for really no reason. It's just kind of weird and unsettling. Fortunately, they discarded a lot of that.
I haven't actually seen that.
It is not good. But someone saw that and saw into the heart of it and was like, "Wait a minute, there is something funny here. There's a nugget of funny." And maybe Justin Roiland actually did blow somebody. I don't know, but he got a show made with Dan Harmon. These two guys are actually veterans, I think, of the animation world. Justin Roiland has been a voice actor in a lot of things, and Dan Harmon has had his hand in a lot of things.
Did Community and a bunch of other shows, and
Justin Roiland, I think, also did a short show for Channel 101.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it was like Channel 101 is a whole other thing. I think it's 101. Channel 101, if I remember correctly, was a show where people would make little shorts, and then you'd get voted whether to continue or stop or change.
Huh.
Yeah, there's a Jack Black one, which was like Computer Man, and it had to change formats twice, so it became a cartoon. It was very weird. It was a fun little thing because it made people like come up with creative little vignettes. And I think Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland worked on one together. I don't remember which one it was, but that's like they had this weird random connection. So when Dan Harmon was approached by the Adult Swim executives, because Adult Swim maintains their own office, when he was approached by them and they said, "We need something to fill this evening slot. It's Adult Swim. It needs to be funny and smart and like compete, not compete, but needs to fit in with some of the other historic Adult Swim stuff and, you know, be that kind of, not quite like C-Lab, but in that same vein, you know, like the old school stuff," and they wanted to get
in that vein. Like Aqua Teen Hunger Force and yeah. Squidbillies and all that kind of stuff where people don't necessarily like.
It's stupid and trashy and like vulgar, but also there's like an undercurrent of intelligence.
Don't forget about like, you know, Tim and Eric Awesome Show and Tom Goes to the Mayor and all that stuff.
Yeah, Tom Goes to the Mayor and Tim and Eric, like you said, and C-Lab and Space Ghost and all those kinds of echoes of that kind of stuff. And Dan was like, "I know a guy," and then just called Justin Roiland up and said, "Do you want to do a thing?" And then he basically just sat down and spewed out most of the show. Like, it just kind of came out of Justin Roiland's face. And then it became a lot of idea back and forth stuff about how, what kind of weird fucked up situations they can find themselves in. And then they,
sci-fi based, but they've always made it a, they made a point, right, to say that they're never doing time travel is one of the things that they, like, established.
It's
really early.
That's possible.
Like, I don't remember hearing that.
I don't know that for sure.
I thought you were the one that told me that, but, like, they were never going to do a time travel episode because time travel is just overdone in that kind of genre. They were always sitting on, like, multiple alternate universes and.
I would believe that, but I would also expect them to completely break that rule as soon as possible.
Right, that's what I keep waiting for them to do it.
Well,
that's why I'm like, okay.
Considering how they originally lifted the characters and the relationship from Back to the Future, that would make sense that they would be like, and that's the line we don't cross.
Yeah, right.
But, there's an element to it of authenticity and genuine human interaction that makes the show kind of uncomfortable in places, but then they go back to fart jokes and it's good.
Yeah, and like, you get that too. Like, if you're starting to watch the show, you'll hit these like things where you're like, "Why am I watching this like family dynamic that's terrible?"
Yeah.
But like, attached to the side of like a really good sci-fi like adult humor show.
Well, like the family dynamic itself isn't a fine example of disturbingly realistic dysfunctional family dynamics. Like,
right.
it's uncomfortable because you've got these this family that by all means shouldn't really be together, that's just kind of hanging on from some reason that no one can really explain or articulate.
The weird part is they just suppose they're, like, current family with other alternative universe families sometimes. And
yeah.
It's really weird to see, like, how even the slightest thing could have made them more happy, but it didn't happen in the main universe.
Yeah, they explore
like,
the hell out of it in an episode.
This is just the shittiest of all the shitty versions of this.
And it's the thing, it's another one of those fine examples of a loveless marriage. And they do that in a couple of things, right? There's a few shows that go down that path, right? That talk about the dysfunctional. I mean, there's a lot of dysfunctional families, but this one's not, like, it's kind of funny, but it's normally, it's not. It's like, wow, why are you two together?
It throws itself back and forth a lot, because a lot of episodes end with either the two parents, like, loving each other, or, like, literally hating each other more than they did before. And you don't start the episode that way, usually, where it's kind of like everybody's doing their own thing, and then it becomes this whole, like, melodrama about the family, and it's either you're like roll the dice between whether or not they're going to be like happy at the end, or like semi happy at the end, or pseudo happy, or like just angry,
or shell shocked,
in the same
or
spot.
whatever.
So yeah, it always throws you off because everything that's happening with Rick and Morty at the same time usually comes back and touches the family, or the family's having their own crazy shit that's a result of something.
Yeah,
that Rick did to brush them off at the beginning anyway.
Yeah, or Rick instigated it. And then left.
Yeah, right, that's what I mean. Like the episode with the dog is like, he's like, here you go, and then he like leaves and it gets out of hand, or the meat seeks box, but it's like, it's always like that.
But then they also, they toy with some pretty heavy concepts as they go, and they do them in a very humorous, but again, disturbingly real and like moral ways. All the little goofy things, like they talk about good and evil, but and implying that, you know, certain business propositions are intrinsically illegal and all that kind of stuff. And then the concept of cursed items, which is like an old school trope. And then they just shit all over it because that's what they do.
Yeah, they usually can expect them to take a trope, you know, and kind of break it outside the box, which is kind of creative.
They're big on trope inversions.
Yeah.
And then they take their own trope inversions and invert them.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, exactly. It's always, you always like have an idea. You're like, oh, okay, this is gonna be like an episode about board-like entities. And you're like, well, nope. That was very different than what I thought.
Yeah, that is not what I was anticipating from this.
Or again, like to what you said earlier, it takes it and makes it like uncomfortably real, where you're like, well, that does kind of make sense that would happen. Nobody ever addressed that before. Like, oh, shit.
The episode with the microverse. And and that kind of, well, there's two aspects of that one, right? Just to look at one in particular, where the car itself starts protecting, oh my God, this is
Summer,
yeah. I was about to say River, and that was because of the Firefly connection with Summer, and that was weird. It starts protecting Summer, but the way it wants to kill people to protect her, but she won't let it, so it has to figure out this more convoluted methodology for protecting her. So it brokers peace amongst in the world that it's in, using by talking to the giant psychic spiders that they're at war with, and creates this whole convoluted scenario to protect Summer without killing anybody.
And it's very, like, the first thing it does is the thing you're like, oh my God, and then she keeps just asking it to not do certain things that are just like the easiest things that you do in any situation.
Right.
Yeah. It becomes amazing.
And it's funny because it's like, well, within the bounds you gave it, that was the easiest solution.
Yep.
And then likewise, within
the broker world peace.
the microcosm of the microverse that, or the tinyverse or whatever the fuck Rick called it, where he's like fucking with the creatures by creating like, by telling them stupid things like, telling them that fuck off means the nicest greeting, and he's just fucking with them, right? And it's funny because it talks about deterministic probability and sort of, you know, the human predisposition or sentient predisposition towards creating characters like Rick, that each of these universes that they create, each time they go one down, has another guy who's figured it out and does the same shit Rick does. Ad nauseum, and it would continue going.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting because that comparison of Rick-like creatures to other Rick-like creatures is almost better than when you start to talk about, like, the multiverse council of Ricks, right?
Yeah.
Those people are more like Rick than the other Ricks are.
They are, and that's...
Like,
that's
our original Rick.
That's, I thought that was a very... an excellent way to basically redo the same concept, but
right. Just
different enough... That it was a rearticulation and another aspect. The Council of Ricks is another fun one.
The thing you always have to remember about the show that I really like too is that you can watch all the episodes like disparately and no one's watch them necessarily in order, but if you do, you get, and they did a really good job of making it so if you do watch them in order, you get this kind of overarching thing that you start learning about the characters more and more, and things do play through just very subtly. And by the end of the second season, you're like, holy shit, like, there's something bigger going on here, and there's something crazy happening, and it's not just about this multiverse, it's just something really big going on, and everybody, I think, is either really excited for them to, like, play in that universe for a little bit, or completely wipe it out by just doing something different in the third season.
Yeah, and they have that option, and I'd be excited with either one. I mean...
Yeah, me too.
When you establish the concept...
They come up with creative ways to do it.
Yeah, when you establish the concept of the Council of Ricks... You're off to a good start from a creative standpoint. I mean, a story writing standpoint. You can basically just lean on that forever.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't, but, like, there's a lot of ways
that's
they can get
even,
out of their situation.
That's not even who, at the end of the second season, like, you know, instigated the whole thing.
They're non-player. And I would kind of expect them to be completely... So, just for clarity's sake here, the Council of Ricks... It's a multiverse world, so there's an infinite number of universes and with an infinite number of Ricks in them, who's the scientist character, and they figure out how to travel between dimensions, that's sort of the premise, and they form a council of themselves, akin to the Council of Reed Richards from Marvel. And our Rick that we follow hates the Council of Ricks because of all their bureaucracy and stupid hair. And so... there's this animosity towards this government bureaucracy that he hates that he made, which makes for a fun character development. But one thing I do like is they've not played that card ever since.
The Council of Ricks card?
Yeah, the Council of Ricks, they only played that card once.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to remember if they ever referenced that, like, Doopy Rick again.
I don't think they reference him, and they may mention the Council of Ricks again, but they never play the card in a story. So
yeah, because even when they're doing the like at the beginning of the second season, they do that kind of like split verse thing.
Yeah,
that's just ever so different, and it's a different entity that comes and tries to like punish them for breaking the laws of reality or whatever.
Now, those guys do time travel, though.
But not, but like, those guys did, I think, but...
Yeah.
I don't know if it was, like, if it was Rick and them doing it.
No, yeah, it wasn't. Right. It wasn't, yeah, it wasn't Rick and Morty, but they did have some time travel in there. But, yeah, it's, it makes for an interesting thing because they don't, they do callbacks and they'll bring characters back in, like Mr. Poopy Butthole, but, which, that whole...
Or Bird Person,
but they won't, like, they got their deus ex machinas that they won't pull out again. Like, they won't pull out the time-traveling weird dudes again. They won't pull out the Council of Ricks again. They just keep coming up with new shit. So on the one hand, I would love it if the Council of Ricks and the time-traveling dudes and that one evil Morty, like, all came back and conspired to save Rick in the next season. But, or conspired to fuck him up some more or something. Like, decided that that prison wasn't big enough and they needed to get a bigger, better prison. But at the same time, I also wouldn't mind if they just did something completely new, unpredictable, like a Galactus character. They haven't done that. Well, they kind of did the giant head dudes, but like, or just some ridiculous concept, space orcs. I don't know, some other trope that they have not yet fucked with rolls in and saves the day. So like everyone's little fan theory and pet theory is just all blown to shit. That would be the best.
That would be cool. I mean, they have the inclination to already kind of do that because there's a lot of people that come up with a lot of fan theories now that YouTube exists. And
yeah.
It's going to be really... That was a joke, everybody. I'm sorry. It's going to be really fun to see if they just kind of shit all over those people who think they know everything and, like, just to do it. What if they, like, did an episode where they combined all the fan theories together to make them all true?
I, for one, would... If I was Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon, I would spend a lot of time when writing... trolling all of those fucking fan theories. They're just cruising through them, finding them all, and then like not using a single one of them and intentionally going out of my way to fuck up people's theories. And maybe if there's a couple of big ones, like really popular ones, acknowledge them in the show. Like, Rick, I really thought that you were going to get out of this with, like, a secret extra portal gun because it turned out that you had the technology all along. That would be retarded, Morty. That would be the stupidest thing anyone had ever could conceive in any of the multiverses. Literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Like,
you get a burp in there, too, but that's kind of like...
I had one, but it was swallowed because it was a real burp, so I didn't really get much of it. But, yeah, okay. Like, that would tickle me. That would tickle me.
That would be pretty great, actually. Because they would do something that was that kind of, air quote, meta.
Even if they went so far as to, like, call out the guy's YouTube handle. Like just straight up, talk to the camera, fourth wall down, fuck you. Your idea was dumb. Like, wow. And I know if it was me, I would be fucking stoked. There's no way I would be more engaged as a fan as if they called me the fuck out for having a dumbass idea.
For being an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, like, you were talking, like, Rick and Morty there for a second, and it kind of made me think of that interview we saw at Comic-Con after the first season had ended, or...
Something. Oh, yeah.
Where they were talking about what to get the episodes done, because, like, one of the two was either too drunk to record or just drunk enough to record or something, and it was just, like...
Yeah, Justin Roiland...
sessions were weird.
Yeah, Justin Roiland was either too sober or too drunk to record a lot, and he did all the burp takes himself with either like sparkling water or light beer.
I wonder if they like put the burps. Is the burp part of like his dialogue, or is it like something that's cut in after? Like,
nope, he does the burp takes. Right. He does the burp takes with the dialogue.
And if you can find it, you should link that video, because he also talks about how they draw their eyes. The eyes look like buttholes.
Well, he didn't mean to at first until someone pointed it out.
Doing it, right?
Yeah, someone pointed it out. It's like, why do the eyes look like buttholes? I don't know, but I'm doing it forever now. Like,
I guess this is what's happening.
So, yeah, it's a tricky one because, if I can find that video when I'm editing it, Future Kendrick, find that video. I think, though, they said that he sometimes will record the Rick and Morty lines together, like, in one take. And I got it, and maybe it's in that video, and if you watch the video, you can correct me via Snapchat. Is the only acceptable form of correction I will accept for this particular inaccuracy. Yes. And, fuck it. I don't know. Like, I just got to make it interesting for people. And he talked about how, like, he actually can and often will do one take where he's switching between Rick and Morty in real time.
Oh, wow. That's kind of impressive.
Yeah, and when he was doing some... I've seen a video, maybe I'll post this one if I can find it, that's where they're just making up a bullshit story as they go. It doesn't make any sense, and the characters don't make sense. Like, you can tell it wasn't well-written because the character actions don't actually mesh with what the characters would do or say. But Justin is sitting there being Rick and Morty at the same time. And he's switching perfectly between them. So... And it's also probably worth noting that they don't really write Rick's dialogue. I don't know if they write Morty's either. They just give him a start point and an end point in everyone else's dialogue. And then he just kind of ad-libs it. Yeah, a lot of... I think that. Most of it. There's probably a little bit of dialogue, but most of his, like, diatribes are just Justin Roiland rambling.
I remember him talking about the, like, how most of it's ad-lib. Like, they have kind of a general, like... And like, but there's like lots of points where he can or does or is expected to
just goes off the rails.
I'll go off the rails a little bit.
Well, that's what gives it such a weird tone as a show. That's what gives it that kind of loose improvisational feel, which is actually a term they use to refer to another thing, but it gives it that kind of improv feel.
Oh,
but also gives it a weirdly real kind of quality in some places, because it's like, that's awkward dialogue. It's like, yeah, real dialogue is sometimes awkward, right? Like,
and you have that direct reference to that in the two of our, like, I think my favorite episodes, which are the 60 Minutes and then the second one with, like, the interdimensional cable box.
Yeah.
Where they're literally just coming up with concepts and either further developing them because they're interesting or just kind of one-off riffing a topic. Like, it's amazing. It's basically like improv with Justin Roiland and Ben Harmon. Like,
yeah,
it's amazing.
And animation.
There's episodes that you frequently and often hit people up with after they've, like, kind of gotten introduced to the show, to show, like, how creative these writers can be.
Yeah, and they're very funny guys. They're just really funny guys. So it's an absolutely wonderful show. I adore it. It's probably not for everyone. It's very crass. It's very, rude. It's also very shocking in places. Like, they really kind of, they fuck with you a little bit.
Yeah, you gotta turn off your, like, your kind of
moral compass
sometimes. Because they do stuff, and it makes you actually think about, like, how you would handle stuff in that situation, or, like, you feel uncomfortable because you don't get why that would make sense, or you make you think about things philosophically, which always is a bad place to go if you're not ready for it.
And it depends. If you don't relate to any of the characters that are protagonist characters, you might be frustrated. Like, if you don't relate to Rick or Morty on some level, I mean, I relate to Rick and Morty.
I've heard that before. They come off as kind of annoying because, like, their mannerisms and their speech patterns are very interesting. And if you don't relate to any of the characters or, like, think that it's funny, you will not like the show. You're right.
And I think that's one of the issues is, you know, I've got a complex that makes me relate to characters like Rick. So, and that if you don't have
unstable folks.
If you don't have a mentally unstable kind of issue like that, then you probably won't like the show as much as we do.
All right, I want to take the last. So Rick and Morty is great. If you haven't seen it, you should go watch it on Hulu or, you know,
you probably got another
for it because it's fantastic.
I'm just coming off Wadsworth, and it's actually about to turn on the light. So you have a couple minutes for your plugs.
Yeah, it's about we're about 27 right now, so I was just, like, kind of...
Oh, my God. Close up the you are episode. Timing this?
If my phone times the call, asshole. But,
Times the call, asshole?
I mean, I'm not on my phone. I'm in the car with Kendrick. I don't sound weird. What's up? So we actually just launched a merchandise site the other day. It's www. It's shop.spreadshirt.com/Aethernet. I'm not even going to spell that out because that
would
be ridiculous. Put a link to it. We have merchandise for not only SitDoc, but just the Aethernet in general, graphic reviews, box culture. We have our little Aetherling up there. And we also have stuff from our, like, sister site, Fickle and Efferate. So if you guys like the show and you want, you know, stuff, specifically, we don't have stickers on Spreadshirt, so you still have to get those through Kendrick's, like, machinations, or, like, you know, sacrifice small animals to Kendrick, and then he'll give you a sticker or something. I don't know, whatever you want.
Say my name.
Exactly. You hit three times in the mirror, and he comes out and gives you a sticker and then kills you. But
or just a sticker and a hug. You never know.
Oh, okay, sorry, not the death, the hug. That's right, I forgot you changed the policy.
Yep.
If you want to go buy stuff, it's we don't really make a ton from it. It's more just to get stuff out there. It's like
our prices are rock bottom.
$2 from everything that's bought there, and I know our parents are buying stuff, so that means we're loved, right? We like
our biggest fans. Our parents.
Exactly.
Your parents are buying stuff too. That's awesome.
You guys are feeling like you want to get some, like, cool shirts or hoodies or even bags and water bottles and coffee cups and phone cases, there's tons of stuff there. I mean, you can do lots of customization with all of the, like, designs and colors and et cetera. So,
buy our shit. At
Spreadshirt, shop.spreadshirt.com/Ethernet.
There'll be a link, and I've got to talk to you about maybe making it, like, ether.net/shop or something.
Yeah, we can try to change it. I haven't found a place to do that yet, but... we'll look into it, but then we'll put links to it, and it'll adapt the link accordingly, or we'll send new links out. It doesn't matter. But all of that stuff's been posted on the Facebook page for Ethernet, and I don't have a link to it on the site yet, but if you contact either one of us, we'll send you links. So don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, guys.
Fake doors.
But it's nothing but fake doors. So I'm still operating the motor vehicle here. Things are kind of hairy towards the office. I'm glad you were talking there because I needed to pay attention to the horrible driving experience for a moment. So it was good.
It's perfect timing
actually, because that was kind of a fucking terrifying corner. So
still happening? Should I still keep talking?
No, we're good. Hey, we're good.
I'm at the second
to last stop sign. We're almost there, everybody. But I guess I could push stop, or we could just say that we're done, and I can just cut the last part off. That's not impossible.
Yeah. So thanks for listening today, folks. Yep. Make sure to go see Rick and Morty and check out our shop. And
check out the shop because I'm going to make sure that there's a link on this page when this thing airs, which is probably going to be mid March or late March by now because we're awesome. And it'll probably be a really easy link that's going to be easily accessed and easy, because easy. Give us money. Don't worry about it. Just wear shirts.
Mostly just wear our stuff. I mean,
wear a shirt with my face on it. And if we see you at a convention or something, maybe I'll have a shirt and I'll just throw it at your face.
We'll sign it, or we'll give you one of those elusive stickers if you have a shirt, you know?
Yeah, or I'll throw a shirt at you if you don't have a shirt on, because you should probably be wearing a shirt.
Yeah, I mean, or, like, if you don't wear pants, there's no sit-sock pants, so you would just keep not wearing pants.
And if you want to start making sit-sock pants, we will pay you to make sit-sock pants that you can then sell, and then we won't pay you, because we're not actually going to pay
you.
So,
okay, that makes a lot more sense. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.